Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. This is a day that the Lord has made and the Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that he is. I'm glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a sinless kingdom. And sin does terrible things to people. And God loves us. But sin is something that he had to destroy. And today is a day like no other that people need to understand the ramifications of sin and what it will do to us. Sin is not our friend. Jesus didn't just come to die to save us so that we can live forever. He came to destroy sin as well. Now, you understand, sin is dormant by itself. Just like faith without works is dead. Well, sin without a host can't do anything. Sin is of the devil. And it has to get in your will and set up camp. It starts with something you desire, a deception, something that you know is really wrong. And when it's in your heart, that's what you become. Men will do what's in their heart. Women will do what's in their heart. Everyone does whatever it is in their heart, whether it's an angel or a man. But in God's heart is the love of God, his ways, his structure. And he's one with it. And he hates sin. Sin is the opposite of God. The opposite of God. So when people are in sin, they're in defiance. Now this is what it does to us. It causes us to be unfruitful. It destroys our purpose, the God-given purpose. We're designed to live by God to live forever. And God has given us treasures of talents within. But in a loving atmosphere, the treasures that God put in us, they come to life. They come to the surface, so to speak. But sin suppresses all of that. In a sinful culture, people are suppressed. They're squeezed. They're subdued. And the creative abilities that they do have, that they are aware of, the enemy will seek to use it to his advantage. Because we are made in the image of God and likeness of God. But Satan wants to take things from us that belong to us. That's why he uses the tool of sin, or the attack of sin, or the weapon of sin. All it's the same thing. It's evil. Evil thoughts and desires don't come from God. They can't. Nothing evil can come from God. Nothing ever came from God that's evil. God makes beautiful things. God gives wisdom. He gives understanding. He makes everything beautiful. And you can't allow things to become an idol to you. And the logic of Satan is to consume. Use whatever you see for your own purpose. But with God, he's more like a gardener. A gardener plants a garden and it's beautiful. And he dresses it. He takes care of it. But Satan will come and steal all the good things out of the garden for himself. And when we first, you know, the first week we met God, he planted a garden eastward in Eden to give Adam an example of how to treat the world. And Satan was jealous and sought to corrupt man. And he's still doing the same thing. And by the way, today is Tuesday, September the 28th. And I always wanted to put a date on these broadcasts, but I just do it by voice. And it gives people a reference of when it was done. But anyway, sin is not our friend. And it's dangerous. And then it cripples us without us being aware of it. And what we have to go on, or what we, you know, Satan's world works by appearance. As long as people have the appearance of righteousness, they feel like they're okay. A swine is not ashamed of eating old corn cobs that nobody, people cast aside. A swine, a pig, is not ashamed of wallowing in the mire. It cools him off. He thinks the world of it. He, you know, to him, it's good. It's all right. The Lord made animals to do things to give us example of what not to do. And, you know, that's how it is. Flies, they eat what's left. It's all right for a fly to land on something nasty, because their design is normal for a vulture to eat dead animals. It's good that they do, but it gives us another example as well. Their stomach is strong enough to eat dead meat, old dead meat. It's God thinks of everything. Now, when people start sinning, once the sin is okay with them, they believe, well, God know my heart, and it's okay with God. The problem with your heart is you let sin inside of it, and it's turning you into something else, and it causes you to be unfruitful. You know, the lust of other things entering in chokes the word. The sin itself, it attacks what's alive in you. And it gets into your advice. It gets into your logic. A person that loves sin somewhere, they're gonna condone it. And once they start condoning it, sin is also invasive. It gets worse. It's ever growing, and it's just like cancer. It's eating away at what makes you strong. It's dividing you from your best friends. It always does. It always has. It divides you from the good churches. It divides you from good family members and their good advice. And when you get in trouble, you know what people are going to say. But you try to protect your sin, and you just spiral down. And people that do that always end up on the bottom, and they can't figure out how they got there. This is what sin does. And ultimately, it causes people to be an enemy against God. And they talk about people of God. And they say things they shouldn't say. And they do things they shouldn't do. And if you follow the average person around, that you can always find something they did wrong. And it can look intentional, but that's where people mess up. They judge people's intent. Sometimes people have it may be an oversight. They may have made a comment that looked wrong, and as soon as they do, the enemy is going to try to. He's always trying to divide people from what's strong. And it's nowadays, the people of God, really, for the sake of the weak, those of us who are strong, and I try to be strong, that's why I say those of us, I do desire to be strong. I want to be anyway. But before we speak hastily, it's good for us nowadays, for the sake of those who are weaker, to let our words be guided by the Holy Ghost, and aware that the enemy is corrupting people, and they're looking for something. Don't give it to them. We need to be wise in the eyes of others. We need to be loving in the eyes of all. We need to be holy before everyone and living the highest form of integrity. You know, I'm going to pray right now. I said, Lord, bless me to live in the highest form of integrity in all things. Bless me to do all things according to your heart. In Jesus' name, I pray. It's important. Because when the Lord tells me his return is imminent, you know, I'm not afraid of anything, but I know that for a fact that a lot of people are going to be caught off guard. And I want people to be caught in Christ, loving him. The concepts of love causes us to be fruitful. Now, what Jesus have done, he came to us, he loves us so much. When we are receptive to his words, it takes things to another level for us. Or I like to say it this way, it takes us to another glory, a greater glory. Because Paul said we grow from glory to glory. So the Lord came to do something about our condition. He gave us salvation. He saved us. We have a brand new spirit, and our spirit hates sin. It doesn't want sin. Our spirit man don't want sin at all, period. Our spirit man wants to live and thrive in the Lord. So with our spirit, we have to protect our heart. We have to protect it and not let corruption in. Now, Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener. All right. Jesus is the true vine. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. First thing God told man was to be fruitful. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. After he gave them the example of how the kingdom of God works, he had just washed their feet. He had just explained to them that the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who serve. And he's telling his purest disciples, because Judas is gone and Satan is with him. So Satan wasn't there to hear this. And he was so focused on destroying Jesus that he wasn't there to hear what Jesus had to say. But here's Jesus telling his purest disciples the things of God about being fruitful. Then he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. On the level that they were on the glory level that they were on, they were clean because of the word which he spoken unto them. And he was about to die for them. But remember, they were just like Old Testament saints at that time. They had a desire for God. They still had that same old spirit. And they were trying to learn and do better. And our closest reference to what they were before they received salvation is how, if you can remember how you were before you believed on Jesus Christ. You're hearing his word and you're with him. If somebody's around you teaching the word, if you have a good heart, you gravitate to it. So they were clean through the word. Then he said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. As long as a branch is connected to the vine. Now, I'm believing this is a grapevine. It can bear fruit. As long as we're connected to Jesus, we receive his word in our hearts. We look to him. We're in covenant agreement. Just like he's a king and a priest, he made us the same thing. As long as we're connected to him, we are kings and priests. We have purpose. And we can do whatever he does. We become an extension of him. And we can bear fruit. Now, we're not designed to bear branches, but we can bear fruit. We don't bear branches. If you try to make a person saved, you're trying to bear a branch. We can't do that. We bear fruit. We present people with the truth of God's word. We present people with a loving display of life. We present people with the holy way of living. We present people with the love of God, the kindness of God, the agreement with God, the good advice of God, the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, the might of God. Whatever people need, we present people with. By doing the will of God, we example the ways of God. The first witness is the way you live. The second witness is your testimony. The third witness is preaching the word of God. And all of it bears fruit. When people see you loving people consistently, that is fruit. When people see you helping people when they need you the most, that's fruit. When people see you giving people wise counsel, that's fruit. When they see you ministering to people, singing songs of Zion, that's fruit. When they see you singing worship songs, you know, when you go about your day and your mind is on something good and positive, and you're singing about it, speaking it, or even thinking about it, people can tell. That's fruit. When people do you wrong and you do them right, that's fruit. When you live in the name of Jesus, that's fruit. And when you bear fruit, those that receive it, they get connected to Jesus and they become branches. Only Jesus can make them branches. We bear fruit. You know, I've never seen a peach tree chase anybody down and say, get some of this fruit. The peach tree stays where it is. You see the fruit, you just go get what you want. Same thing with every tree, even grapevines. Okay, he said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I desire to bear branches, but I can't. And you know, Ray Wilson pointed this out in Sunday school. He said, we're not designed to bear branches, we're designed to bear fruit. And that made my life a lot easier. You know, you can't chase people down. Hey, get this fruit. The word of God is sown in peace. And I love to minister to people, but you can't force it on them. You treat them with kindness and respect, and you love them, and the Lord will take it and pray for them. Bear fruit, by all means, and the Lord will take it from there. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The only thing that can do this to a man is he's got to be consumed with sin. He just said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. As long as we're connected to Jesus, we're going to bear much fruit. Not just connected in covenant agreement, we're cooperating with him. We're following him. We're obeying him. You will bear much fruit. The problem is, American religious tradition follows God or far. Their goal, their covenant Their goal in the covenant of salvation is to get saved and stay saved. It is not to do the details of what Jesus say personally. It is not to seek out what God wants you to do personal. It is not, and most people, they're content with just letting the preacher do all the teaching. They don't research the word for themselves to make sure it's true. Even though in Acts, the word said that the Bereans were more noble. In other words, that's a very polite way of saying that the Bereans, who went and searched the scriptures, they just had more sense than others did. They weren't foolish, but they had more sense than people that just took the apostles' word for it. They searched the scriptures. So American religious tradition is based on the way the Catholics did things. And remember something about the, you see, once a pattern is started, people just adopt it and keep going with it. In the days of the early church, or after the apostles died, a lot of people couldn't read. Poor people, a lot of them couldn't read, and the women couldn't read, according to what I've been told anyway. I was not there. I just have to go on what I study or what somebody point out to me. But the rich people went to school, and they taught the men. And I'm sure that some people were wise enough to learn to read. And so the people would go to church, and they would listen to the preacher. Also, they didn't have Bibles. They just listened, and they kept it. They wrote it in their heart and thought about it, and they loved God. So their understanding was limited. And what made the apostles so much more outstanding, they spent time with Jesus and learned his ways. Now, everybody else had to get it from them and the Holy Spirit. And again, the letters were sent to the churches and read. The wisest people copied it down and continued to read it. But most people are not going to go that far. And remember, the wealthy people are the only ones that would have had books. Books would have been very expensive. I don't know the commerce in those days, but to pay somebody to write down everything in the Bible, it would have been expensive. And remember, if it was a Jewish writer, they had to be in the right spirit. The Old Testament scribes, they would write. And if they got anything wrong, the whole thing was no good. They start over. Well, that's what Elder Lewis taught me. So books were, it's kind of like when cell phones first came out. You know, they had the big brick. They called it a brick. It was about the size of a brick. And it was about as heavy as a brick. And it cost about $800. So I didn't have one. And the first cell phones was heavy and cumbersome. And people would ride around because it made people think they were rich. And some people had fake phones. And they just ride around holding it in their car, you know, crazy. Well, it's the same thing with a book. So it started out, the average Joe didn't have his own copy of the Word of God, but the priest did. And they would study it and teach the people. And that way the king could control what the preacher was saying. And the bishops and preachers could, you know, they were in league with the bad ones were in league with the kings, and they did whatever they said, and they controlled people with the Word of God. So people got kind of used to it. It's convenient. You do the best you can. You go to church and you learn what you can. But they never learned to be warriors in the Word. They never learned, you know, it was hard to learn to live by faith. And they took the people sideways. Martin Luther taught us that, you know, the just shall live by his faith. And he started a reformation. But a lot of the old ways are still around. So the problem is, what you have to do is study the word. And when you do, when you seek out to the Lord for his wisdom. Most Christians that I know of, since the Lord been teaching me about following God, I'm doing kind of what Martin Luther did. Look to the Lord. Stay connected and do whatever he say. And they found a way not to do that because of religious tradition. And I always wonder, why didn't they just yield to the Lord like he on the level that he desired, to his specifications? And recently, about a few months ago, the Lord said it's because of seducing spirits. A seducing spirit, what he starts today, it don't go away. It's taught. It gets in the culture. You have to always break through culture to get to go forward and become mighty in the Lord. Remember, if you do, you're going to bear much fruit. Or otherwise, the other thing, problem that's going to happen, you're going to wither away. And we can't bear fruit. Fruit of ourselves. We have to be connected to Jesus. If I'm a branch connected to the vine, the main vine, which is Jesus, and somebody cut me off, I can't bear any more fruit. Whatever I got will wither away, and I wither away. I'd be no good. I'll lose my purpose. I have to stay connected by choice. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. That's a guarantee. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Then he said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So bearing fruit is linked. You can't be connected to Jesus and bear no fruit. And the only reason you're not bearing fruit is because you've allowed yourself to be disconnected. Also, you have the verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You are guaranteed to prosper. There is no form of prosperity. I mean, there is no form of poverty in obedience to God. So when people are yielded, and they're not only just doing what Jesus said, they're asking the Lord to show them, what do you want me to do? How should I do this? They're seeking the Lord in all their ways. And they're bearing fruit. And this is why it works. The Lord will train you for what's next in your life. And he'll prepare you for it. You'll go to the next glory and then the next glory. And people will live because of it. And you're going to be rewarded because of it. And God is going to raise up people to help you do it. And as they help you, he's preparing them for something and he's going to help them. But when you stop the process, it throws everything off. But because of vain traditions and seducing spirits, things that tell you not to do what God say do, watch what happens to the lukewarm church. Now, the Lord pointed something out, and we'll touch on it today and pick it up next time. He said, listen to what he said. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, Jesus Christ, our King. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would therefore that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now watch the assessment. This is the first part is the assessment, their assessment of themselves. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art. See, that their belief is they're rich, increased with good, and have need of nothing. That's what they believe. But they're in the kingdom of God in their own mind. But in truth, Jesus said, you know not. That you are first wretched, without fruit, miserable, you can't increase. Poor, you can't give anything good. Blind, you can't see your condition. And naked, you have no covenant. The only way this could happen, they got disconnected. You cannot be connected to God and be in this condition. You have to be disconnected through sin. So lukewarm people are in a deceptive state. They believe they're in and they're out. They allow sin in their life and they're being corrupted. You have to be disconnected from the vine. We just pointed out if you're connected, you're going to bear fruit. If you're willing and obedient, you got to bear fruit. It's going to be in your DNA. It's coming. You're going to bear much fruit if you keep doing what God said. But they're living in an illusion. They have possessions, and their possessions are increasing, but they have no life. Because how can you have life and you're wretched? That's the opposite. Wretched is the opposite of being fruitful. Miserable is the opposite of multiplying. See, God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish. A poor man can't replenish anything. Then they're blind. They can't subdue because they can't see. And they're naked. They're cut off. Then he said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich for real, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness do not appear.